Welcome in to the Chase and Big Joe show. I am not Chase, and I am not Big Joe. They will be along shortly. I am Robbie Stanley, however, joined by Nick Frazier this morning. Hope everybody's off to a good start this morning. Mr. Frazier, Dr. Crane, how are we doing?
Doing phenomenal now, yes. Ran into some traffic this morning. There was a bad accident, I guess, over by Southern Hills Hospital. So if you're in that area, just, you know, be able to go through traffic a little bit. That's all. But overall, doing great.
Good.
Heard you had a good little 6-9 there, Robbie. Good good little morning show for you.
Yeah, Paul Kuharski was with us this morning. Appreciated him dropping by. Chase and Big Joe are going to be live out at Titans training camp today. They will be along shortly here on the program. Matter of fact, we're going to have them here in just a second. Do we have them now? They are testing. So we'll have Chase and Big Joe along shortly. The joint practices underway today between the Titans and the Seattle Seahawks. So a big week this week. One of the highlights of camp is when you have the joint practices. Titans will take on the Seahawks for the next 2 days at practice. Preseason game coming up this weekend. I would assume, depending on how the work goes today for them, that it'll be a limited action for the starters coming this weekend. But good to see the Seahawks and Titans out there today. Chase, Big Joe, how we doing?
What's up? Oh, we're good, Robbie. Got a little workout in this morning, getting ready for practice. Appreciate you hanging out for a second.
Thanks, Robbie.
Yeah, we're excited to
Anything
see
you. Anything for you, too.
I know. You're the man. A little overtime for Rob. But, yeah, Chase and Big Joe out here, Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park, Titans training camp. I've lost track of all the weeks now of since they've been in camp.
This is the third week.
Third week. Seahawks in town. This is where you kind of get a good gauge of where you're at.
Oh, you get a great gauge of where you're at. All the 1-on-1 drills. Watch Latham go against another team today. See how Skoronski, Latham, and Cushenberry, that left side of the line works against another team. 1-on-1 drills with the receivers and DBs. I mean, this is a fun practice today. And I'm looking forward to it. Of course, all eyes will be on Levis, see what he does out here. You know, and it'd be fun watching Geno Smith, too, if he does practice. And he's, you know, he's a solid National Football League quarterback. And see how this Titans secondary goes up against him today. So it'll be a lot of fun, a lot of great work to watch these two teams battle out today.
Yes, it will. We've got a great opening hour for you before practice. Practice starts at 10 today. So 9:15, Titans offensive coordinator Nick Holt's going to join us, and then John McClain at 9:30. So, action packed here in the first hour.
Buddy.
And I'm going to leave it to you. If you want to ask the question that's on your mind to the offensive coordinator, I will let you do that.
I will. I know you purposely set me up for this. So
no, I didn't. But when I found out that's who it was, I did laugh.
I just want to know. I mean, you're the offensive coordinator. Typically, the offensive coordinator calls the plays. He does not call the play. So I want to ask him about this role and see what happens and what communication he has between himself, Callahan, and Will Levis. And it's an interesting dynamic. It's a dynamic I didn't grow up with.
Sure.
Playing football. In college, we had a coordinator who called the plays, and that was it. So this has been a trend the last, what, 6, 7, 8 years? Things are going on.
Yeah, really, with this Shanahan, McVay.
Yeah. You know, and it's funny about calling plays throughout the years. You know, we did that thing with Terry Bradshaw. We talked about he called every play that he had. You know, Aaron Rodgers, when he was the Packers, was able to kind of call in later in his career, kind of adjust things and kind of become his own, you know, pseudo play caller, things like that. So it's always been crazy that with an offensive coordinator and a quarterback have to be on the same page.
Sure.
So it's going to be fun to talk to him and see where this all stands.
Well, my assumption is that Nick is in the booth, so he's got the aerial view, and he's kind of radioing things to Brian Callahan, and then obviously Callahan's calling it in to Will Levis. So
yeah,
it's a, you know, and Callahan talked about it after the first game of kind of where it all was, and you know, obviously there's things they're going to work through, having done it for the first time, but you know, they'll get it down.
Yeah.
You know, where it'll just be easy.
Yeah, he's got to be. If he's on the ground, I'm shocked if he's on the sidelines. You know, the worst things, and you know, Derek Mason and Chris Sanders will tell you this, that one of the worst things is when your coach is in the box and you come off the sidelines and they hand you the headset, you're like, oh, God, I had my butt just chewed out so many times by a defensive coach when I was in college, just ripping me apart about, what were you doing? What's going on over there? So I think the dynamic of being up top there and seeing things is easier for all that. But you know, the dynamic to me, Chase, is crazy. It's like, so if Callahan has to go sit and talk to Levis a little bit and there's a problem on the field, who takes care of that problem on the field when the defense is out there? If there's a situation of a certain call you got to make, or a head coach needs to be there. So there's a lot of moving parts that go with your head coach being offensive coordinator.
Yes, indeed. So I think that I think that dynamic has obviously worked across the league, and it'll continue to work here in Nashville with the Titans. But we look forward to talking to Coach Holtz here in just a few minutes.
It will be. You know what I was thinking last night, because I go over a bunch of notes and look at things. We'll call that
show prep.
We'll do this topic another time when we're not so busy. But, Chase, there aren't many stars in the National Football League anymore.
No.
I'm not being serious. The 90s, there are probably 50 stars. Can you name more than 10 in the National Football League right now? I mean, it's tough. You could do the quarterbacks.
Mahomes.
Lamar Jackson.
Lamar.
Aaron Rodgers.
Rodgers. Burrow. I'd put Burrow in there.
Okay, yeah. And then go beyond that. I mean, it's really tough to see, you know, of like.
Is Tyreek Hill considered a star?
I think so, but, I mean, is he overall? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, does, like, being a really good player make you automatically a star? I mean, there's other aspects that you have to have.
I don't know. I mean, you look at the 80s and 90s when we grew up, those guys were stars. I mean, they're guys. Hell, the Cowboys had probably 10 or 12 stars on their team. The Giants had a bunch of them. I mean, the Redskins had a few. Just on and on and on. And now I don't see a lot of stars. So I think the National Football League is looking for that beyond the four or five quarterbacks and a few of the guys we talked about to stand up and become. Like, who's the big defensive star in the National Football
League? That's where I was just about to ask that. I mean, Aaron Donald retired.
Right.
Who, I mean.
Right. I went down the Seahawks.
Micah Parsons.
But he's not in the everyday syntax that we go and talk about players.
It's a fantastic question. I mean. Like,
I don't
know. You know the names. But, like, you know, I always have kind of defined star as if they're walking through the airport, are you immediately going to know who they are?
Right. It's a good point.
Like, you know, in baseball. If Derek Jeter or David Ortiz had been walking through the airport, you would immediately go like, hey, that's Big Poppy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to put that. Is that, would you recognize him going through the airport? I mean, a lot of football because you got the helmet on. I get all that. But they're just, I don't know. There's just not a lot of big and I go back to this with the whole Gene Simmons thing about rock music is dead. There'll never be any more rock stars again. And we laugh about that. I'm thinking, man, he's got a point. Yeah. I mean, there's not going to be a Guns N' Roses or Aerosmith or Bon Jovi. If there is, I mean, I'd be shocked, but it's a good point to talk about that. But I went to the Seahawks roster last night. I'm like, you know, that team used to be loaded with people that we recognize.
Yeah.
I don't recognize anybody on there.
It's a really, really good question. It's definitely something worth talking about. Again, we're live today, Titans training camp. They'll get practice going. A little less than an hour, a little later today with the joint practices with the Seahawks. So Adam Vingan and Derek Mason will be out here as well. But we're going to be joined by Titans offensive coordinator Nick Holtz coming up in just a few minutes. Real quick, Jim Wyatt is here. That's a star.
Hey, Jimbo.
You talk about a star.
Yeah.
Jim Wyatt's a star. I went and saw Creed last night.
Oh, the movie?
At the amphitheater. No, the band.
Oh.
Joe Rexroad's favorite band.
How was that last night?
It was good. It was... I realize that, you know, everything Joe has said, like every song kind of sounds the same, but they put on a good show.
Packed house?
Packed house, and the band Tonic opened for them.
Oh, okay.
And so, I didn't know this, Brad Whitford of Aerosmith, his son plays for Tonic. Brad Whitford came out, and they played Sweet Emotion.
Oh.
It was pretty cool.
Lee Cow. What's Tonic's their big song? If you could only see.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so that was cool. And his grandson was there, too. He played a little bit with Creed.
Man.
So that was neat.
Who sang Sweet Emotion?
The lead singer of Tonic.
Oh, okay.
This was before.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. That's very – did you know they announced it? And it's like,
hey, I heard Brad Whitford, and I was like, wait, what?
Wow. That's very cool, man.
Yeah.
He's got nothing else to do now.
Yeah, I know. But it was good. So everybody – when it kind of hit, everybody was like, oh, wow, this is neat.
Did you please tell me? When Creed sang that one song, did you sing
Higher?
I heard the news.
Oh,
arms my life
wide open.
Go on a train.
I mean, look, it's easy to do a Scott Stapp impression.
Did you please tell me you were hugging Ricky doing this?
I wasn't, but we sang.
Tell me you're hugging him. Come on.
No, I didn't hug him.
Did you have
but he enjoyed it.
I'm sure he did.
He enjoyed
it. Eyes wide open.
And then, well, the funniest thing was, so the song My Sacrifice is what they closed with.
Okay.
And back in the day, the WWF did, like, this promotional video with My Sacrifice as, yeah, as the song. So, like, Ricky pulled it up in the middle of the song, and it synced up perfect. It was awesome.
I did see something I've got to give you a little grief about.
Okay.
You took a concert video last night.
I did, but
No. We talk about this, buddy.
I did.
We don't do concert videos.
Are you talking about the Instagram one?
Yes. One of those, man. We told you to my friends out there. Here's your daily PSA. Nobody's going to watch your concert videos. Nobody cares. Right? So if you take them for yourself, that's fine. I'm a staunch advocate of not doing that and letting that stuff sink in.
I know.
Somebody's walking our way.
All right. We'll step aside. Nick Colt's going to join us. Coming up next, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106 for the game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Wednesday. We're live at Titans training camp, and Titans offensive coordinator Nick Holtz is with us now, and look forward to our conversation with him. Coach, we're just catching up kind of during the break. How you liking Nashville so far?
Oh, it's been great. I think family's happy. We've moved around the last couple years a bunch, so I think we're hoping to maybe make this one a longer stop. It's been exciting. It's what a great city, and everybody just seems to – you know, in great mood all the time, so it's fun.
You've known Coach Callahan, Brian Callahan, for a long time, and so now getting to work with your friends, somebody that you've kind of grown up with, how is that? What's that been like to this point?
It's been great, you know, watching him kind of, you know, when you've known somebody for a long time and then they go into a different role, you know, and now he's, you know, one of 32 head coaches, and watching him address the team and how he kind of manages the staff and all those things. It just, you know, sometimes I have to step back and, you know, realize, oh yeah, he is my boss, but at the same point, like, man, that's pretty cool watching your friend get to do this, and the way he just kind of commands the room and commands the team, it's been fun.
Talk about the genesis of you two. It started in high school?
Yes. So we were high school teammates at De La Salle High School in Northern California. We were ranked pretty high back then. It was the 151 wins in a row or whatever, longest winning streak in high school football. But we weren't the best players on the team, unfortunately. We were we had better players than us. But then we were both went off to college separate ways. Then my first job, I worked for his dad at Nebraska as a GA. Then we all got fired out of the season. I went to Stanford. He was a GA at UCLA. He gets a high school job. We lived together there in the Bay Area while we were both working. He goes off to the Broncos. We go our separate ways for 10-plus years. Then at the Raiders, we get rekindled on John Gruden's first staff.
Wow.
And then he's only there 1 year. He gets the Cincinnati deal with Zach Taylor, and now here we are in 2024, whatever year it is. I know it was a long history lesson there.
Is it cool, though, seeing how you guys have kind of come up? I mean, listen, people don't know, being a GA is not the best job in the world at all, right? But to see you guys come together, it's got to be a really cool feeling.
It's great. You know, for us, now we're both – recently 40. I think we finally feel like we're out of the young guy stage of our lives. But yeah, you know, I worked for Bill at Nebraska, I tell people, you know, he tried to kill me. Like, it was I was 22 years old, 23. I didn't know anything. I still don't know anything. But I was sleeping under my desk two nights a week trying to find out, just, you know, whatever. I think I made $8,000 for the year, you know, and it was just kind of what you had to do to kind of earn your stripes,
right,
and earn your respect. And I guess it's worked out, you know, for some GAs that's as good as it gets, but it's been worked out for all of us, I guess. So,
you worked with Trevor Lawrence last year in Jacksonville, mm-hmm, and, you know, we kind of saw him take steps forward. Now you're getting to do that again here in Nashville with Will Levis. I know it's early in the process. I liked what I saw, you know, Saturday, short sample size, but what has that relationship been like to this point?
You know, the thing I always say about Will's a great listener, so he hears and takes in information at a very high rate. So he sits there, and you tell him something one time, and he'll remember it from 2 months ago. And he said, well, you remember that one time we ran this play, and you said we wanted to boot out of this, hold the backside, and you're like, shoot, I did say that. All right, yeah, that's really good. You know, that's really, so he's able to his ability to take it from the classroom to the field and kind of ingrain it one time is pretty impressive. You know, and if we correct something or we make a suggestion, Bo, Brian, or myself, it's really done the next day. And then, you know, the thing I'll say for him he did this summer is he went and got his quarterback coach and everything else, and he really planned the work with the quarterback coach. I think a step for him becoming a veteran quarterback in this league is some of these guys go to somebody and tell them what to do. He told this guy what he wanted to do. Wow. Hey, I want to do this. I want to get these. These are the drills I want. These are the things I'm looking for. Help me refine this, this, and this. And he came back in amazing shape, and his footwork looked great and all those other things. So kind of a lot of credit to him for taking the reins on those.
What's the relationship between you and Will? I mean, is it – I know you're not his position coach, but how much you interact with him during the day?
So I'm in there – I'm in every quarterback meeting for the most part, or I'd say 90% of them. And so it's myself, Bo, the three quarterbacks. Kylan Butler's in there a lot. But so there's a lot of dialogue. And when we first started putting in the offense, it was just, okay, I've got a slant over here. I've got just asking those kind of questions. And now he's grown to the point of, okay, I want to move this defender to try to throw this route. How do I, where do I put my eyes because I want to do this? And taking it kind of the next level, which has been really cool. So we talk kind of constant communication throughout meetings, throughout practice. I mean, every time he comes out of the field, he's got a comment or question. Hey, I saw this. Did you see this guy? And he sees some stuff that my eyes are somewhere else, or maybe I'm looking somewhere else, and I think he read it wrong, or I think he did something else. And he's
cool.
No, I saw this guy. And it's the feedback is – I think every player comes off the field and always like, hey, you know, here's what I was thinking, but it's not always accurate information. He does a really good job giving like, no, this is exactly what I saw. This is why. And you go turn on the tape and it's that.
Oh, that's
so
great.
Cool.
Can you teach him how to slide?
Well, that's So we're sitting there. I mean, it's like we told him very few things going into the preseason. We're like, look, hey, we're going to call some quick game. We're going to get the ball out of your hand. Just don't take any hits. Don't do anything stupid. And so he goes there. If you see as he breaks to the right, Calvin's breaking to the pylon, and we're like, oh, he's just going to throw it there. And the moment, nope. I think everybody saw the body language, the look in his eyes. And, you know, there were some choice words said by Bo, by Brian, by myself, I think by the whole staff, the whole team. And so Brian comes over, and he's just like, come on, man. Like, we told you, like, one thing. And he's just like, I just had to get that first one in, coach. Just got the first one in. We're like, oh, God. Then we watched it with him on Sunday, and we're like, he's like, I know. We don't have to talk about it. Like, it so
we funny. Laugh about it, but is it a concern?
Yeah. I think there's, like, let's not do this. Like, there's a difference between being competitor and just being kind of ridiculous. And that was a ridiculous decision all the way around. I think it's better to have a guy we have to rein back and say, you know, the competitive nature and those other kind of things, or rather being like, hey, you know, you can go get that yard, you know, but if he does it again this Saturday or whenever the next time he gets in a preseason game, there's going to be a real issue. Probably an issue with my coaching.
Nick Holtz is with us, Titans offensive coordinator. So I know Brian talked a little bit about this. Obviously, that the first game with San Francisco, first time he called plays, you know, as a head coach, and just that whole dynamic. Are you in the booth? Are you talking to him? Is that kind of how all that's working?
Yeah. So I pretty much I got done with the game, and my wife's like, "God, you look tired." And I'm like, "Yeah, I just talked for 3.5 straight hours all the way through." So I pretty much am either talking directly to Brian, or I kind of narrate what's happening. Hey, they're getting Savy's down here. He should go the other way. Whatever. This is, and just kind of because when you're upstairs, you do have the best view of kind of all the moving pieces and things like that. So that's kind of been my role on Saturday. But I thought the one thing that was great for us is our process offensively, and even as a team, I thought those first preseason games, you want to see the substitutions getting out. Play calls get in and out, the guys get up, you know, there was not a lot of guys running around kind of looking lost. I thought our tempo in and out was good, those kind of things, of just the mechanics of the offense and the play calling, and I thought it went really well for our first time as a group, and it'll get better as we go, but you know, just that process for us was, we were happy with.
Does Brian ask you for recommendations? How do you tell him to run his play?
So, and so like maybe it's second and 10 And he goes, hey, if we get half of it here, what do you like on third and five? You know, and then he's asking his dad. And then, you know, we'll have guys that are kind of different situational, that are kind of in charge of situations for us. So somebody might be in charge of the red zone and say, hey, if I get to the 10, you know, do you like this play? You know, and a lot of that also happens in between the drives.
Sure.
So in between the drives, we're sitting there, and he, for him, if he goes over to the defense and has something with Denard or whatever special teams, everybody kind of talks to me. I compile it and then say, hey, we were talking while you were gone. Here's the first three runs. Here's the first three dropback passes. Hey, if you get in a red zone, let's think about this one. And he's kind of circling as he goes. And he goes, and there's some ones that we'll say, hey, we like this. And he goes, I'm not going to call that. And he gives us what he's going to call. So there's kind of a previewing of the plays.
Right.
So that the guys know, you know, Bo sitting there with Will going, hey, here's the first play. Here's the second play coming out. And then we'll kind of, so they can kind of start thinking about getting to a, you know, don't keep it a secret. No need to surprise them out there. And all of a sudden go, oh, man, I didn't think that play was coming. So, you know, let's try to give them all the information we can.
You're like a psychiatrist. I mean, you're just taking all these notes and helping people out, man.
That's the job. The job is, the football part's easy. It's the people part that's hard. You know?
I'm curious, you know, there's been a lot of discussion on Treylon Burks. Mm-hmm. And as he goes into his third year, and, you know, that's a big year, obviously.
Yeah.
That's kind of when it starts to click or whatever.
Yeah.
What was kind of your impression of him when you first got here, and now you take it to this second, third week in camp and watching him through a preseason game to see how much he's grown?
You know, you looked at the tape last year, you kind of – you don't want to take – it's not that it doesn't matter looking at last year, but you don't want to take – had cloud your total vision of it. So
yeah.
We got to the spring, and, you know, we're like, all right, let's keep him healthy. He was you're like, all right, he's big, he's fast, he can do some things. And you just kind of wanted to see if that would grow, you know, or if it was just kind of a big, fast guy who could just kind of run and, you know, not really play. And as the spring went on, it just kind of – he kind of made more and more plays, more and more plays. And you're like, all right, we might – you know, I think we have something here. And then even with the whole receiver group, if they kind of – with the way they played on Saturday, if they all did that in a regular season game, I think – we'd be really happy with the group as a whole. You know, you saw Treylon catch the third down, and he cut, you know, it was – or a second down, a second and 10. He got an under route. He gets north and south, runs over that guy, gets a first down. You know, Nick Westbrook did a great job blocking. He got that one ball. We threw him the one ball on the sideline. Great. Calvin had his one catch and run. You know, we didn't get Tyler a ball. But you looked at the way all those guys played, if that's how they play kind of in their roles during the season, kind of everybody's got a spot. And then you get D-Hop back, and you're like – all right, now we've got some pieces here to work with, and everybody can kind of fit and find what they do the best.
I love it. I know you got to go, but real quick, what do you need to see from Will today and tomorrow in this joint practice? What would you like to see?
To me, I'd like to see him just, you know, we really have no idea what they're going to play. Like they've, you know, they played. We saw their preseason defense, you know, against the Chargers, and they didn't show a ton. So we could get a ton of unscouted looks today. So I want him to just look at the defense and make quick decisions, and like it's a game, and somebody just hit, hey, they all of a sudden, we thought we were getting a four down front, they give us a three down front, manage the play calls.
Okay.
We didn't put a bunch of kills, cans, you know, hey, checks to this. We just want our offense to go manage the look. So him and Lloyd, say we're sitting there and there's two guys outside on the left side and we're running to the left. Hey, let's fix the play. Let's find something to go to the right. But you manage those plays. So it's going to be a good mental challenge for these guys, more than just a physical challenge.
Good.
You know, because that's where I think you really find out how much they truly understand the offense, the systems, and what we're asking them to do. So it'll be good. It'll be fun.
For sure. This has been a lot of fun. It's good to meet you and kind of catch up a little bit. I know you got to go get ready for practice, but thanks so much for doing this.
This is awesome. I really appreciate it, guys. It was fun.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Thank you, Coach Nick Holtz, for joining us, offensive coordinator for the Tennessee Titans. We'll have John McClain coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chasing Big Joe live today, Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park, Titans training camp. Appreciate offensive coordinator Nick Holtz for joining us in the last segment. Now we talk to John McClain, the legend, of course, from Houston. HoustonTexans.com is where you can find his work. Good morning, John. How are you?
Guys, I'm doing great, and I hope you are too.
Oh, yeah, we are fantastic. We just had a great talk with Titans offensive coordinator Nick Holtz. And, you know, obviously we've seen this evolution of how offenses work in the National Football League. A lot of times the head coach is the play caller on whatever side of the ball, you know, he specializes in, and then they have a coordinator with the title that, you know, is helping in that process. And in Coach Holt's case, he's up in the booth, he's talking to Brian Callahan. When did you kind of notice that trend and that change where a lot of head coaches wanted to be in that position and call their own plays?
That's as old as time. Quarterbacks used to call their own plays. It's hard to believe. And I might have been Tom Landry that back in the 60s, maybe the early 70s, decided he wanted to call the plays, and it was very frustrating for quarterbacks like Roger Staubach and Craig Morton. But then it became a trend that quarterbacks would not. I know there's certain quarterbacks like Joe Namath and Terry Bradshaw couldn't imagine running an offense in which they didn't call the plays. And in the decades before that, the quarterbacks always did it. Now, the head coach might send in a play or tell them something to consider, and they could do it or not. And they would pick things like run or pass in a short yardage situation or go for it on fourth down. And what you see, if you were an offensive coordinator and you become a head coach like Brian Callahan, you're going to want to call the plays. That's the way it is just about everywhere. But after a little while, you may go, you know what? I need to delegate more. I've never thought a head coach should be calling plays because there's so much for him to have to keep up with. You know, he has one of the worst views. The best views are up in the box, and they're constantly in communication with their eyes up in the box. Now, to me, if you're a defensive coordinator and you become a head coach, you'll call the defense. But I'm sure Callahan, as Zach Taylor was, guys don't get a chance to do it. If you play for certain head coaches and you're eager because you've been compiling all this information and all this strategy and all these things you want to do, and then finally you get to do it. Now, Callahan may call him for the next 20 years, but after 2 or 3 years, he may delegate, and you see a lot do that. I remember when the Texans hired Gary Kubiak, the Broncos' offensive coordinator, in 06, and I went up at the end of the 05 season, near the end, because I knew they were going to do it. And Mike Shanahan told me he was like when he was an offensive coordinator under Dan Reeves. Man, when he got that head coaching job, he couldn't wait to call plays. And then after a while, you know, I got a lot of responsibilities. I think I'm going to let Kubiak call plays for a change. And he said when Gary gets up there, he's going to want to do everything. And then he's going to figure it out. And that's when Gary Kubiak, after 2 or 3 years, let Kyle Shanahan start calling the plays. And Kyle still calls them for the 49ers.
John, you have covered a lot of joint practices in your career. What do you think that, you know, we talked to Nick Holes, you know, about getting out of the practice days. It's more mental than anything. They're not prepared for Seattle. The defense they're going to throw, the offense they're going to throw out here. But as far as joint practices go, what do you think a team should get out of joint practices that they won't get out of the game on Saturday night?
I'll tell you what Bill Belichick told Pat McAfee 2 days ago, and one of the best things I've ever heard from a coach about joint practices and putting an offense in for a few plays in preseason, which he was totally against. And he was so good, Pat McAfee shut up for a few minutes. And I've never seen that. And after it was over, everybody was just mesmerized. And one of the things he wanted a joint practice, and he said they started doing that with Giants back when he was defensive coordinator under Bill Parcells. They would practice against the Patriots, and the coaches, offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators, the head coaches, they would go over everything they wanted to do, and they were totally against fighting. Now, sometimes you get fights, and it's very interesting. I've seen the Texans have joint practice with the Commanders in Richmond, Virginia, get called off a day early because of fighting. I've seen when Greg Williams was a defensive coordinator in New Orleans, and the Texans went over to have joint practices with the Saints, and it seemed like fights broke out every other play, and you don't get anything accomplished. So what Belichick told the referees, he said, look, he said, you call it just like you would a regular season game. If you see a penalty, call the penalty. If you see one of my guys getting a fight, throw him out of the game like you would during a regular season. Now, some guys would love to get out of that. I love the, what they talked about, the Sean McVay rule, which turns out to be a load of crap. But anyway, it's that if you get in a fight, you got to play the whole game. And somebody said, yeah, that's the Sean McVay rule. And they said, well, what about when Aaron Donald was throwing his helmet around? He didn't have to play the whole game. And they're like, well, of course, there was a different set of rules. And that sounds good, and I like it, because players do not want to play a whole game in preseason. And if you get down to that last, the last game, you can have joint, like next week the Texans play their fourth and final preseason game here against the Rams. Well, they can have all the fights that they want because nobody's going to play but the backup. So it's not fun when they do that. It's inevitable at times, but boy, if you want to get them to stop fighting, do some, make them run like they did in the old days. Now the union would get involved in saying it's abusive and cruel and unusual punishment. But in the old days, if you screwed up, that poor guy's running laps or running up and down the stands about to vomit because he screwed up.
I love it. Yeah, there are exceptions and there are rules. John, I know you saw some epic joint practices between the Oilers and the Cowboys back in the day. That had to be something to watch that.
That was when both teams were good, when Jimmy Johnson didn't want to be on the West Coast luxuriating on the ocean. He wanted to be in Austin where it was 100 degrees and more every day to toughen them up for the start of regular season, even though Jerry Jones wanted to be on the West Coast so he could hang out with celebrities. So the Oilers were in San Antonio, so it's a short drive between Austin and San Antonio, and they would have joint practices. They'd have autograph sessions beforehand for fans, and it's amazing how much longer the lines were for the Cowboys. And then they didn't have a lot of fights. They had a lot of talent. That's when the Oilers were really good, and of course the Cowboys were too. It was almost out, like respect, but man, for joint practices, they wanted to hit and prove what they could do. And one of the good things about joint practices, when J.J. Watt was at the height of his game, I used to love to watch him go up against deep offensive tackles in joint practices. And he would humiliate them, and they would get so mad. They would cheap shot him and do everything else. But Watt was always disciplined not to get involved in a practice. And you want to see young players. You know, the Titans want to see their guys out there in a joint practice. Coaches want to watch them go one-on-one. They want to see if they're making mental mistakes and physical mistakes that they can correct before the start of regular season.
For sure. We will have more with John McClain coming up next here on the Chasing Big Joe Show, live today, Titans training camp, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chasing Big Joe live today at Titans training camp. Continuing our conversation with the great John McClain, HoustonTexans.com is where you can find his work. And, you know, we're watching the Titans just came out, John. They're getting ready for their joint practices with Seattle, and you know, we've talked a lot about that and the benefit of those. You watch Will Levis against San Francisco, and we had his offensive coordinator on. He still got to learn the slide, and I know that young quarterbacks, they want to prove themselves, they want to make plays, but at what point, you know, does a coach have to maybe have that tough love and try and teach him, you know, that you got to protect yourself?
Well, I'm sure he's getting that tough love. I'm sure he got it last year, too, because that's a big part of playing quarterback, whether you're any good or not. That's one of the first things they tell you. If you run, you got to slide. You don't want to go head first. And I'm sure once the season gets going, he'll be better at it, because you guys know he's a good runner. He's a strong runner. And he better learn, because RG3, Robert Griffin III, who I watched play every game at Baylor, when he got to Washington, he was still trying to run over them, jump over them, run around them, go head first and everything. No matter what they told him, he just didn't do it. And it got hurt. He suffered, broke his ankle, and he was never the same after that. So I'm guessing Levis, because he was not a predominant runner at Kentucky, he was a great passer, that seems to be one of the easiest things for a quarterback's transition is to slide. There's so many other things that are more difficult in learning to play that position on a big-time level. You'd think they'd knock that one out real quick and then worry about the tough stuff.
John, we had a discussion, Chase, earlier in the show, and you know more about the NFL and the history than anybody I know. That's why we love talking to you. Currently, does the NFL have a star problem? Meaning, we go back to the 80s and 90s, even the 2000s, John, there were so many guys that were larger than life. I feel now the National Football League, outside a handful of quarterbacks, there's not any big superstars. Am I wrong?
Well, Patrick Mahomes is the biggest superstar. If you don't believe it, you just ask Jake from State Farm. Aaron Rodgers was Rodgers, but so many people don't like Rodgers because he's such a weirdo when it comes to certain things. But if he plays great and the Jets win, he'll be back at that status he enjoyed with Green Bay. You don't have a Brady. You don't have a Manning. At some point, maybe they will, where you see these guys on commercials constantly. But it's almost like it's Mahomes' world. And, you know, you got to win Super Bowls. Running backs used to be really popular. You'd see them on TV doing ads. Now you got to have the FBI to find them. And that's just the way the game has changed. It's more like wide receivers. But the wide receivers that get all this money, they're not real popular on a national scale. You know, their money, their contracts overshadows their great performance, and that's not what people want. We're going to see a whole lot more Olympians cashing in on what they did compared to the NFL, I believe, because the Olympians reach the masses, and the NFL, except for Mahomes, does not.
Yeah, a great point. Thank you for that. John, we had a lot of discussion, Chase and I did on Monday, about the new kickoff rule. I love it. There seems to be a lot of consternation between officials and teams and players about what is good and what's not good and everything. What are your thoughts on the new kickoff rule going forward?
Well, I think it looks weird when they line up, but I'm used to it now. And teams are not showing any surprises that they may pull when regular season begins. It's all very vanilla, trying to figure out the rules. There's still flags thrown. Couple coaches say, we're just going to kick it to where the other team gets it at the 30-yard line. But I think that's not going to be the case. And if one or two teams does really well with some strategy, the others are going to be copying them. So I think it's going to be in a constant state of flux as they try to take advantage of what's one of the most radical changes in the history of the NFL.
John McClain is with us from Houston. By the way, we were talking about play calling earlier. Jared, our afternoon show host, texted me this, that he saw in a Roger Staubach documentary that Fran Tarkenton used to give Staubach crap about not calling plays. Staubach replied, quote, maybe you'd win a Super Bowl if Bud Grant called the plays.
Oh, boy, did that come back to bite him in the butt. My goodness. But Tarkenton was one of those Hall of Fame quarterbacks
that called Staubach
his own plays.
Say.
It's like it was insulting that Tom Landry did it, but hey, he's the head coach, and you had to go along with it. And then they started winning Super Bowls, and Minnesota lost four.
Yeah, I'd say it worked out for sure. Great stuff as always, John. We appreciate it, and we will talk to you next week.
Guys, thank you very much, as always.
Absolutely. John McClain, HoustonTexans.com. That's where you can find his work. And of course, that legend joins us every Wednesday at 9:30. How about that response?
That's great. Staubach's one guy you wouldn't think would be trash talking, but those Cowboy teams. I mean, you had Dan Reeves, you had Ditka was on those assistant coaches on those teams. So loaded staff and players, really good. If you missed our conversation with Titans offensive coordinator Nick Holes earlier, I mean, it was. We'll put that up. It was really interesting, the dynamic that he. Because I've been very vocal,
sure.
Vociferous about. You're not the quarter. You're not calling plays. He's still not calling plays. But there's this unique relationship between Callahan and Holes that goes back to
Holtz.
Okay. Yes. What did I call Holes?
Holtz.
What did I call him?
Holes.
Holes.
Yeah.
Holtz. There's no T. Holtz. There's this relationship that they have going back to high school.
Yeah.
And it's really kind of cool to watch them. And, you know, they went their separate ways, he said, for about 10 years. And now they're reunited here in Nashville. But it was cool, the relationship that they have on and off the field.
We will discuss more of that, including a little bit of our conversation with Nick Holtz. Because I think it might have opened Joe's eyes a little bit. We'll discuss that and much more in hour number two. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.